Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned again.
Everyone, this is Martin Zender loading another cannonball into the cannon of truth. We're going to give you some news today from USA Today. Get this. This is big stuff. The new Pope has begun sainthood processes for John Paul II. They're cutting the corners here for this man. It's been too hard in the past for these poor people to become saints, so they're cutting some corners here. USA Today, new Pope begins sainthood process for John Paul II. Pope Benedict XVI put his predecessor on the fast track for sainthood. The Pope's decision to authorize the start of the process for sainthood for Pope John Paul II overrode the usual 5-year waiting period following the death of a candidate before beatification procedures can begin. The only other time the waiting period was waived was for who other than Mother Teresa. The process was begun a year after her death. I don't know if you knew this, but in John Paul's lifetime, he was looking to get rid of the miracle clause. You didn't know about the miracle clause? That's a relative of Santa Claus. This is from the Catholic News, December 20th, 2004. The London Times is reporting that Cardinal Tarcisio Bertone of Genoa disclosed that Cardinal Ratzinger has presented a formula to Pope John Paul II for the abolition of the miracle clause. This is of great concern here in the Catholic world. Just what does it take to be a saint? The paper says Cardinal Bertone revealed that there is growing feeling in the Vatican that the need for miracles for both beatification and canonization was anachronistic. I think I went to high school with her. Anachronistic, yeah, I think I did. I'll try to put a picture of her up on the web. Anyway, the article continues, at present, candidates for beatification, by the way, beatification is simply being blessed. It's a blessed state, one small step short of sainthood. Sainthood's the cherry on top, but that's a long road here that they're trying to shorten. But at present, candidates for beatification must be shown to have performed at least one miracle after death. By after death. After death. Oh, can you imagine these poor people are rotting in the grave? They have to get up and perform a miracle. Oh, God, who's calling on me now? You. The ignorance is profound here, and it's just funny. Sorry. Oh, at least one. Candidates for beatification must be shown to have performed at least one miracle after death by curing the terminally ill in response to prayers of intercession. For sainthood, evidence of at least two miracles is required. You only have to have one for beatification, two for sainthood. Claims of miraculous cures are examined by a panel of five medical experts at the Congregation for the Causes of Saints. People actually work here at the Congregation for the Causes of Saints. All right, but this was next. No way they were going to let this happen because listen to the news now. We're going to try to get Pope John Paul to into the fast lane here. Benedict made the announcement in Latin during a meeting at the Basilica. All right. Can you imagine that? You have to be dead. Vatican officials said Benedict's announcement gives no time element for John Paul's possible beatification and does not do away with requirements, including the investigation of the late Pope's life and the approval of a miracle. Thank goodness they're not cutting corners here. Hey, if you want to be a saint, let's not take a shortcut here. I want to see miracles, and you got to be dead. Monsignor Gianfranco Bella, who is responsible for actually starting John Paul's beatification cause, said in an interview Friday that he hoped to start gathering documents and contact witnesses as soon as possible. But things have to be done well. They can't be rushed through, said Bella. Certainly. He called Benedict's announcement wonderful and suggested approving a miracle wouldn't prove too difficult. Certainly he had many gifts and touches so many people, he said. Even the conversion of one person is a miracle. Okay, I see now. I see now. You don't have to have a healed bone. Just converting one person is a miracle. Let's get this guy through so we can start selling posters and statues. Beatification is the first step toward canonization. It allows the candidate to be called blessed and honored locally or in a limited way in the liturgy. Canonization is an infallible declaration by the Pope that a person who is virtuous to a heroic degree in life is now in heaven and worthy of honor and veneration by all the faithful. According to a woman, 47-year-old Jolanta Radden, she said, "I am so happy the new Pope did not wait, especially since, for me personally, John Paul II was a saint even during his lifetime." Wow, that is a radical statement for a Catholic. "During my last pilgrimage to Rome, I had a sick leg, and I returned with a healed one. I am absolutely sure I owe it to him." Well, there you have it, folks. All these conclaves and meetings and propositions and there's five steps to sainthood, you know, in the Catholic Church. Five steps. I got them right here. Recognition, that you're first recognized by somebody who knew you, that just the fact that you're worth attention. Hey, I'm not kidding you. That's what the bishop of the diocese where the candidate died decides: they are worth attention. Next, you become a servant of God. There's qualifications there. You're venerable, step three. And step four, you're blessed. That is, you're beatified. And step five, the ultimate, is a cherry on top. You know what's so funny about this? What's so funny about this is in Exodus 13, verse 2, as I shared with you yesterday, God said, "Sanctify to me." That is, make a saint to me. "Every firstborn, the first offspring of every womb among the sons of Israel, both of man and beast, it belongs to me." So we have jackass saints in Israel. The firstborn jackass was declared a saint. Sanctify to me. That's the word. I'm sorry. Sanctify. Make a saint to me, the firstborn jackass. The firstborn of every beast. It belongs to me. That's the definition of a saint. A saint is a name given to anyone who is called. And that's why it's so relaxing. That's why this Catholic thing is so funny. Because they have all these hoops that dead people have to jump through. Forget the fact that that's an impossibility. But we have to put a panel together to analyze this person's life to see whether they've, quote, made the grade. And it's all subjective because, well, maybe this Radden lady here says, "Well, I went to Rome and I had a sick leg and my leg was well after I left." And I'm sure it was attributed to St. John Paul. Well, John Paul, sorry. Ooh, he's not a saint yet. Well, you know, it's all subjective. Okay, lady. Then they have to consult this medical organization, right? Didn't the article say that this group, the Congregation for the Causes of Saints, they have a medical team. They have to analyze these miracle things. What a waste when God is so gracious as to say that we're saints, calls us saints, by the virtue of the death of Christ on the cross and by designating us beforehand for the place of a son. Therefore, we are saints, and it has nothing to do, as I showed you yesterday from the situation in Corinth, nothing to do with a person's moral standing, their moral progress, whether you've healed anybody or not. This is a relaxing call, and it applies to you no matter where you are or what you're doing. And here's the thing, they didn't even have to wait for the donkeys to die. The donkeys were alive. They're alive and they're saints. No 5-year waiting period for dead donkeys. No, it is mine. It is mine. And if God makes a claim on you, you belong to him. That sainthood, you belong to him. It's just like your children. Your children belong to you. They don't stop being your children if they do bad things. Sure, you correct them and you discipline them. Try to get them to do the right thing, but they're always your child. They belong to you. And that's the definition of sainthood. It's a exacting, more picturesque definition that we get in Exodus 13, 2, sanctify to me every firstborn. It belongs to me. Simple fact, you're a saint. You belong to God. I told you yesterday I was going to show you how inanimate objects, this gets more, actually, more wonderful. It gets more relaxing. But you could look at it according to the perspective of it gets more embarrassing, because now we're going to see that inanimate objects are holy. It's bad enough that the firstborn jackass is holy. Now, inanimate objects are holy. I'm going to go to Exodus chapter 29, verse 37. For 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar and consecrate it. Then the altar shall be most holy. The altar is holy. And whatever touches the altar shall be holy. You know what kind of things touch the altar? Well, let's go to Exodus 25, 29. And you shall make its dishes, its pans, its jars, its bowls with which to pour libations. You shall make them of pure gold. Well, okay, at least they're made of gold. You have a gold jar, a gold dish, a gold bowl. But these are things. These are instruments. These are inanimate objects. They're not even alive, and yet they're consecrated to God. They're set apart for a purpose. They are mine, says the Lord. Is that getting even more embarrassing? Well, I'm not finished. Well, you know me better than that. I'm not going to stop there. Exodus 3:5. Let's go to Exodus 3:5. Then he said, God speaking to Moses. This is the burning bush, the famous burning bush scene made popular by Charlton Heston. Then he said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Holy ground. The ground is holy. The very dirt was holy because that area had been separated, selected by God for this great event. It was holy ground, the dirt. And I think this is really interesting, because do you know that your body is made of the same elements of the soil? Yes, scientists have looked into this and they've established it as fact. You do contain the soil. This is even more humbling. You are clay. And this takes the pride away. You know, the Catholic Church and really the Protestant congregations as well, they like for sainthood to be something you attain, because it gives you something to look good at in front of other people. It gives you something to strive for. You have a checklist like the Catholics do here. Miracle 1, check. Miracle 2, yep, Mrs. Radden's leg was healed, check. 5-year waiting period, check. Servant of God, check. Beatification, check. All these, check, check, check. And maybe if you make the grade, you'll be a saint. Now, Paul is calling people in Corinth who are practicing prostitution saints. Your clay is no different than anyone else's clay. We're all clay. He's the potter. God has simply decided to choose you, and he calls you a saint, and it's not in accord with acts. It's not in accord with miracles. It's not in accord with striving in the flesh. It's not in accord with praying your brains out or saying the rosary or any worthiness whatsoever on your part. God, on your part, God says you are mine, and that settles it. Tomorrow we're going to the land of the Mennonites. Bring along your horse and buggy. Bring along a blanket and a basket of corn. Oh, maybe throw in a sweet roll or a sticky bun. I'll be with you tomorrow. I remain yours, Martin Zender, and believe in God no matter what the clergy tell you.